developed piece of property and turn it into repurpose it for something else or change its use. For instance, an old factory that might have closed down could be fixed up and turned into condominiums, or a big box store that's closed could be turned in. The Goodwill store was an example of that. It was an old contractor supply place, and they turned it into the Goodwill processing place right there at the school. Given that this is a greenfield development, it's got a little different kind of criteria that goes with it. It's part of a public and private consortium that's redeveloping or developing this area as a high-tech kind of a research park. That means that the city of Kettering, the city of Beaver Creek, Dayton has some participation in it. They've gone together to create this chunk of ground, and this happens to be the newest building in the development. Because it's all in a big planned development, a lot of the engineering that goes into the project is pre-determined, so that, for instance, all of the site water management flows from property to property into one big master plan, as opposed to, say, the CVS over there on the corner bought a corner lot, and they have to do the engineering to take care of all their water runoff and everything and keep it all in the same property as what they're building on. This has water drainage that comes from a couple other the lots, the field out there, and all comes back, and the water ponds are back there in big ponds. The site engineer, the civil engineer, pretty much has control of the site at the beginning. He has to set the elevation of the building. He has to make sure that all the drainage patterns work together. He sizes all the pipe for drainage, make sure that all the there's two types of drainage, really. There's sanitary and there's storm. Obviously, the sanitary is the used water from inside the bathrooms and any processing. That's kept completely separate from the stormwater. All we're dealing with is the stormwater runoff. What we've got here is, if you see on the other side of that truck, there's a swale that comes through here. And when after a rain, it fills up and then slowly is let out through a small exit pipe, comes under the driveway, and then enters into this gravel swale that runs down this side of the building, eventually down into a pond. And the reason that has got all gravel at the bottom of it, all the storm water will go through that gravel and it slows it down, keeps it from eroding. At the same time, it aerates the water, and that improves the quality of the water. There'll be a lot of suspended particulates in the water, and as it goes through that gravel swale, tends to filter it. It's the same thing as a stream or a river will do when it goes down. It's a natural cleansing of the water as it goes through the gravel bottom of the river. And so what we've tried to do is just kind of put in a same as a natural river or stream bottom would do. A situation like this, because this owner of this building is interested in how good the property looks, instead of just creating a ditch that would be functional, we've tried to do something that is also pleasing to look at. And the windows from that side of the building look down on this. So what we've done is create something that looks fairly natural with the river rock at the bottom of it, and then it'll be planted on both sides with ornamental grasses and flowering plants and trees, so that it looks good and functions at the same time. The plantings that we put in there were selected to be able to have a good, strong, solid root system that goes down into the banks and kind of locks all that ground up so it doesn't erode over time. Some of the grasses that you'll be planting later on have a root structure that actually will go 6-7 feet deep sometimes. And that root structure going through the soils It's actually almost like reinforcing in concrete. It's the fiber that ties everything together and holds it for over time. They've actually been developed from the prairie grasses that are out west of here, between here and the Rocky Mountains, where all the topsoil and the great agricultural ground is. Originally prairie grasses out there, and they were what made that ground so fertile and productive for agriculture too. So we've transplanted them from there, developed them, and use them here as a natural kind of a erosion control and bioswale. The term bioswale is just an explanation of the plants that grow along a creek, sometimes in a creek, sometimes cattails, that type of thing, that'll actually, as that storm water comes through there, it'll actually absorb the water, and in that doing so, will also absorb some of the chemical runoff that's gotten into the water. Some of the fertilizer from the farm fields around here, some of the salts that would be used to control the ice in the wintertime, that all gets suspended in water, and by going through the vegetation and what we're planting, those plants will actually absorb that, actually use the chemicals, the good chemicals, as fertilizer, which allows them to, through photosynthesis, process those chemicals and carbon dioxide and then throw off oxygen. So it's a very natural and healing part of the whole ecosystem, really. What we're going to do today is put in some of the smaller plants along this gravel swale leading down to those ponds. And what we did this morning was kind of paired off in twos and threes and kind of made some teams up. We've put the plants down there where they go, so when we get down there, there'll be scallops along those edges, primarily on this side of the ditch. And where those plants are, we'll need to dig holes, and we'll take some compost down there in these 5-gallon buckets that are filled over here. What you want to do is spread the compost out and then dig holes where the plants are, where the stakes are. Kind of mix the soil comes out of the hole with the compost. Place the holes probably need to be about a foot in diameter. The pots are smaller than that. Set the plants down there at the same level as the dirt on either side, and then mix that soil back in around and press it around each plant. And then when we get all the planting done, we'll come back and we'll take mulch down there. We use a shredded bark mulch that'll go over the top of all, the whole bed. You can see the way they look on the far side that they did this morning. We'll probably do that same thing. We want to put about close to 2 inches of this bark mulch over the whole bed. And what that'll do is that'll allow those beds to not dry out too badly when we get a dry spell. So that when we do get rain, they'll be able to accept the water and kind of slow down the amount of runoff off of the site. So the mulching is really, plants don't have to have mulch around them, but what it does is it gives that loose layer on top of the soil, so when it rains, it kind of soaks straight in. Without mulch on there, it gets to be baked in a hard surface on there, and then the water runs off instead of being able to soak in. The best example of that is if you think about a sponge that you have at your sink. When it's completely dried out, it's kind of brittle. You can't hardly get it to take any water on until it gets moist, and then when it gets moist, then it sucks up all the water. And what you want to do is try and keep the dirt in that same condition, a little bit moist, so when you get natural rain, it goes through that mulch and it'll actually go into the soil rather than run off. When you have storms, generally flooding occurs when it's either got frozen ground or it's got hard packed ground so that none of it's absorbed. It comes so fast that it doesn't go in and fills up all the waterways past capacity, and that's when you have flooding. And modern engineering has taken those calculations that use a 100-year flood and make sure that whatever happens in this property, the hardest rain that we could expect for 100 years will still be able to be absorbed and channeled into these waterways without causing additional flooding downstream. So if you get any point in your studies and you're thinking about going on into civil engineering, there's a lot of work like that that's part of what a civil engineer does. Our side of it is much more on the natural side with using the plants, using trying to make things look pretty, trying to be sustainable, not nearly as calculation rich as some of the engineering that goes into the civil work. So if you tend to be interested in the math side of it, civil engineering and surveying and stuff is a good career path. If you're more into the aesthetic side of it, maybe a little more in the biology side of it, a little more in the planting, landscape architecture or horticulture is a good way to go. So as I say, we're not the brains of the outfit. We come in after they've done all those calculations and then we just enhance it. So what I think we can do is, if we want to break into